and pray together. There are those that are praying for us in another language, and they're praying tonight for blessing in the conversion of men and women. They are praying for this gathering together in the other side of the world. I have been assured of that. And tonight we have been praying that God's name might be honored and the Lord Jesus glorified. If that happens, the people of God will be blessed. I don't know of anything that causes revival amongst the people of God, and when we speak of revival, we always refer to Christians. When there is revival, there usually is a spiritual awakening amongst the unconverted. And I don't know of anything that causes God's people to rejoice more than when men and women come to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is happening tonight in different parts of the world. Now, shall we open our Bibles tonight, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, please. And we shall commence reading, please, at verse number 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the promise, and the prophet. The golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. But there is no salvation in complying with the golden rule. Will you please read the following verses? Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew's Gospel is the Gospel of the Divine Architect. And it is thrilling that a man who was engaged as a tax collector touched the hem of the Master's garment. And God chose Matthew to be the writer of the first gospel. And he seems to give us a blueprint of God's desire for the human race. When we come to chapter 7, it is an interesting chapter. But tonight I want to be very, very simple because the gospel is simple. There was a dear man of God who lived quite a number of years ago who wrote a gospel tract called God's Way of Salvation. His name was Alexander Marshall. And every time that Alexander Marshall preached the gospel, people were converted. And he was a very, very simple preacher. Some people said they wouldn't go across the street to listen to him. Because he used to get at it this way. He that believeth on the Son. Did you hear that? There is such a thing as hearing. And hearing about the Son, that is God's Son. He that heareth my word. And Alexander Marshall would go into a discourse as to what the word meant. And he would take a simple text and make it real. And he might quote the text a dozen times while he was preaching. Have you heard? Have you believed? Have you trusted? If you haven't, do it now. Now, we have with us tonight this large hand-painted chart before us. I'm going to stand a little from the microphone and point out some things about it. Simple things. But the Chinese say that one picture is worth a thousand words. And so while we speak the word of God tonight, and there is absolutely nothing about this chart which is not full of the word of God. Now let me point out some things to you. And I hope that you're still able to capture the point. You'll notice that the title of our chart this evening is called The Two Roads and the Two Destinies. There are only two roads. There are only two destinies. I know that there is a very popular church or denomination that professes that there is another place called purgatory, which we cannot find in the teaching of the Word of God. There are only two roads. There are only two destinies. Let me point them out to you. One destiny is found by traversing on this broad road. Now let me point out something to you at the very commencement. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that was ever born into the world passed through a wide gate.
The very moment that we were born, we began to die. Did you know that? The other day, I was in a hospital. I went to see a dear sister in Christ. And God blessed her by giving her a little boy. And I went along to the place where they keep the baby. And I saw that infant child that was just born. I thought to myself, it was born a few moments ago by its long dad and a few moments ago. You might go for 60, 70, 80, or 90. But the Word of God instructs us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. There are two roads. There are two destinies. One destiny is reached when we come to the great terminal called death. And those that traverse on the broad road, and here you will find the murderers, here you will find the harlots and the robbers, the bandits, prostitutes, the drug addicts, and they're all traversing the broad road. Did you notice something? There is a crown upon the broad road, and that one who wears that crown is the God of this world. His business is to blind the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them, and they should be saved. That is his great business. Deceiving men and women. He's the God of this world, and his name is Satan. Let me suggest to you that he is present in our gathering together tonight. I know that he has all of those people in the casino, in NASA, blinded. He doesn't bother much about those. But there are those in our company tonight, and you are listening to the truth of God. And his business is to snatch away the seed that your soul might be doomed. Now will you please notice that the broad road is easy to traverse. We have some very wide highways over in the United States, where you will find 12 lanes of traffic going one way and 12 the other. Not difficult to traverse upon a broad road. Look, here are the countless millions of people, and they are on the broad road, which leads to hell and then to destruction. But I said that there are two destinies. One ends in the blackness of darkness forever. I don't know if you have ever been into a coal mine. I have been in one. And when I got up to the little elevator that took me down, and the miner had a little lamp upon his helmet, and as I'm going down, I'm noticing 1,000 feet. 1,200 feet. 2,000 feet. And I didn't notice the miner, and it just slipped out. That little lamp upon his helmet. And he didn't speak a word for about 30 seconds. And I felt it was 30 years. I held up my hands to see. And actually the blackness and the darkness was actually death. And I felt that the blackness of darkness seemed to be crushing upon me. That's what hell is. That's where men and women are going at the rate of over 2,000 since we have fathered are gathering together to see them. Every tick of the clock and three souls are dropping into them. And those that are going there are those that are guided by the God of this world. They're headed toward death. It's appointed unto man once to die, after death the judgment. That is one destiny. But we have another destiny. And would to God we had an hour to tell you about it. The destiny called heaven. Now, how does one get there? Now, let me assure you, beloved, that every person upon the broad road, at one time or another, has to pass by an open door. The Lord Jesus said, in John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse number 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Now I believe that God is gracious, and we have been listening to the choir tonight, and they've been singing about the love of God. Well put together. The love of God. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, as one traverses upon the broad road, at one time or another, you are confronted with this open door. Now, if you have never heard that in your life before, you're hearing it tonight. And do you know there are people in the world that are hearing that for the first time? I remember on one occasion, I was having evangelistic meetings in a country place, and while we were preaching, one could hear the cries of an individual coming from another section. And I asked about it when the meeting was over. All they said, there's a woman that lives in that house, and she is demon possessed. We have tried to witness to her, and she just curses us. And she calls upon the very demons of hell to destroy the meetings that you've been holding. The God of this world, Satan, blinds the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them, they should be saved. One dear Christian that had been saved a few weeks went to see her. She said, look, I'd like to take you to where that man is preaching in a chapel. Would they let me in? You give them the chance to put you out. They came to the chapel just about 5 minutes before we were to start. And she looked at a text on the wall. And the text said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. She started to tremble. She fell upon her knees. Who says that? Jesus said. You mean the one that died upon the cross? The very one. And she started to read it again. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If I come to him now with my sin, and she was trembling, and with my guilt, will he let me in? Try. And that dear woman, without listening to a gospel message, upon her knees, the first time that she saw the word of God, trusted in the Savior's blood. And I'll tell you, verses, it was a trophy of the grace of God. Now look. Here is a wide open door. Is it? No. It's a narrow one. The wide door is here. But here is a word that says, I am not a door. Not one door. But I am the door. The door to be saved is in a person. And the door to be sure that you're saved is in a person. And you get the assurance of it as well. Thomas said to the Lord, how can we know the way? Jesus said in John's Gospel 14 verse 6, I am the way. The way to what? The way to get saved. I am the way, the truth. The way to be sure that you're saved, to believe in he who said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way to be satisfied. Now, here is an open door, and every person that has entered through that open door, they are saved, they have believed, they have listened to the little word, come. For the Master said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse number 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now notice. Enter ye in at the straight gate. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name, no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now, if you are ever going to be in God's heaven, you must pass through the narrow gate. Has there ever been a time in your life's experience when you did that? Now, I do know that there might be those present that were like just like me. When I was just a little baby, my mother took me to a very ornate, lavish Anglican church. And I was dressed, I don't know. I was there, but my mother told me, and she showed me the picture. I was dressed in white. And she put a little white bow on my head. See? And the minister put his hand into a bowl of water. And he dropped a few drops upon my head, and I was bellowing like a cow. He says, you're a Christian. There was nothing farther than the truth. The Word of God tells me, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where you and I are tonight. If we're not born again. And there is one thing that God cannot do. He cannot behold sin. Why do I say that? When my blessed Lord was nailed upon a cross of wood, and yet he made the hill upon which that cross stood. The earth was covered in blackness. Why? Because the sinless Savior died. And he was bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. And God hid. Why? He was holy. He was harmless, he was undefiled, he was separate from sin. But he was bearing sin in his own body on the tree. And the Savior said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? A few minutes before, when his own creatures mocked him, and they said, come down from the cross, and we will believe thee. The Lord Jesus prayed, and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do.
But when God hid his face from his beloved son, he didn't say, Father. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why didn't he say, Father? Because God is holy, and he cannot behold sin. And that's the reason why those that pass by the great column, their bodies are going to be placed in a coffin lined with silk. But the soul of an ungodly, unconverted man who has never tasted and seen that the Lord is good, his soul is going to languish in the blackness of darkness forever. But here is a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, and they trust in the precious Lord Jesus. They have entered in through the narrow gate, and they are on their way to glory. And they are saved, and they are sure of it, and they are satisfied that they're saved. But look, they may never die. I'm not expecting to die. I'm expecting something else to happen. You see, we've got a little bypass that bypasses death. Would you like that? Would you like it? I have seen people die. I have preached at their funerals after they have committed suicide. I remember on one occasion, a dear girl and her sister were soundly converted. They had never held in their hands a copy of the Holy Scriptures. And they rejoiced in the Lord. Their father said, I'd like to go along to those gatherings. Will they let me in? Yes. The dear man came. And he sat spellbound as the word of God was ministered. And he went home. And he took up one of his daughter's Bibles and he started to read it. He had another daughter there. He said, Father, is that a copy of the Bible that you're looking at? It's a wonderful book. I've been listening in the chapel. But you're not going to be as idiotic as my sisters and believe the message of the evangelist, are you? He says, I'm very, very much thinking about getting saved. My daughter's lives have been converted. They have been changed. I would like that change as well. Religion has never satisfied me. That girl became hysterical, as only Latin women can become. She says, Father, I never want to see that book in your hand again. I never want you to be like my sisters. And she started to scream. And the neighbors heard. The father said, my daughter, I think it's a wonderful message. My life is going to be completely changed. Father, if you become a Christian, I'm going to saturate my body in 90% alcohol and strike a match.
She said, wouldn't do it. Yes, she knew I would. And she reached out for a bottle of alcohol and went for a match. He said, daughter, don't do it. Make me a promise that you will never trust in the Savior. The man said, I promise. I never saw him again in our meetings. One tropical evening, I thought that I detected the shadow of a man on the porch. The meeting was over, and sure enough, it was him. I went to him. And in typical Latin fashion, I put my arms around him. Now, I know that some of my dear English brethren missionaries, they thought that we shouldn't change our very staid English customs. But you know, customs are only customs, and customs don't change. We like to see lives change, but there are certain customs that never change. And I put my arms around him. And I said, Emmanuel, for that was his name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. And I spoke it to him in the Spanish language. And he started to cry. He says, would to God. He says, I could do it. But I've made a promise. And I'm not going to do it. I'll never forget, and that man turned his back upon me. And he went home. My wife and I had prayed that evening. Well, that dear man were retired. But that tropical night, the silence of it was broken by a scream that I knew very, very well. I dressed and I'm on the street. Here is his daughter who's a child of God. She came down to tell me. She pointed me to the rear of that building, and there, suspended with a rope around his neck to one of the rafters, was the lifeless form of a man who heard, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And he took the suicide shortcut to end it all.
He might have passed through the open door. But instead of that, his soul was lost.
Would you entertain people as you're asked to speak at that funeral, when several hundred people were gathered? That's one of the reasons why I want to be very, very cautious about causing even a smile to come upon your countenance in a gathering just like this. We may be called upon during the week to read the Word of God over your lifeless form. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For broad is the gate, wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. I believe that God is speaking in our gathering tonight. And there might be a man, and your wife is on the way to glory. You're not saved. Thank God you're here tonight. God has given you an opportunity to trust in the Savior's blood. Will you do that? Will you please bow your head in prayer? Now, dear friend, I realize that every Christian in our gathering together, they're praying, and they're praying for you, dear friend, in our gathering tonight. And they're praying that God might come in and reveal the simplicity of salvation to your heart. Believe in the Lord Jesus, trusting in Him. I wonder, would you join them in this prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I've heard it before. I've heard it tonight. I have never entered that open door. But just as I am, without one plea, with all of my sin and with all of my degradation, I'm going to trust in that precious blood. The best way I know how, I'm going to confess Him before men. Now, if you have prayed that, dear friend, would you tell someone? That person next to you doesn't know what happened. But you know. These believers would like to sing with the angels in heaven, with you, O happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Father in heaven, we would ask of thee that thou wilt take of the things of Christ and reveal them unto those that are in nature's darkness. Grant our Father in heaven that there might be a man or a woman or a boy or a girl that will trust in the Lord Jesus tonight. We ask these things in His precious and His wonderful name. Amen. Amen.